Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homo Casino Resort, the player's place.
Indiana football, I agree with the pundits, has to be one of the great sports stories this century. I didn't really realize some of the numbers before I was watching that game, and I sat down and watched the entire Big Ten championship game on Saturday night. That Indiana has the second most losses in football in college football history. And, of course, Ohio State has, what, the second most wins in college football history. They had dominated. They won 30 straight against Indiana. Ohio State had. Indiana hadn't won a Big Ten since, 1945? Like 80 years.
When that graphic popped up on the screen, I was like, you put the wrong numbers in. There's no way. The dominance from Ohio State against Indiana and what Cignetti has done in Indiana is staggering. It's staggering. And so somebody tweeted, like, look what happened when teams figured out that they could pay players. It seems that Indiana was the only team for many years that
actually
didn't know you could,
have...
could pay players. You know, like Coach O told us on Friday, through the back door instead of the front door. Oh, my God. I thought Ohio State was going to win that game by double digits. I really did. And I was absolutely wrong. Now, those teams will meet again, yeah?
Well, they have them as though they would have to be in the championship. Right? Because Indiana's the number one overall seed, and Ohio State's number three, right? So the only way they would meet is if they both got to the championship game, which would be an exciting rematch if it does to it. I think the SEC will have something to say about that, obviously. Be surprised if no SEC team got to the championship game, but
last year didn't happen.
I'd be very intrigued by a rematch between Indiana and Ohio State. Oh, I enjoyed watching that game immensely.
That was really good. I only caught the last, I caught like the last 4 minutes of the game, which was pretty much all you needed. I mean, it was fantastic.
It was low scoring, but it wasn't ugly.
Yeah. 13-10, right? Was that the final? Yeah. And it's like, usually those are kind of turdish, but
you felt it was just big plays, big hits. It felt like an NFL playoff game.
Ohio State's number two, so yeah, but they would only meet in the championship game.
Got it.
Yeah. So that, and Fernando Mendoza, who probably wrapped up the Heisman Trophy, they will finish the voting today, and we'll find out next week who is the Heisman Trophy winner and champion, probably gets it with that win over Julian Sayin, the quarterback from Carlsbad at Ohio State. I didn't think he had a bad, I mean, they both... He had his team set up for a game-tying field goal. You know, his kicker missed it, so otherwise they would have gone to overtime. They might still be playing that game. Who knows? Chip shot field goal.
Yep.
But Fernando Mendoza made that unbelievable pass for the final first down so they could run out the clock over the top. Just absolutely perfect. Dropped it in there. Perfect. And I thought that was the moment he won the Heisman Trophy.
That kid got that jump off the line, and he put it in the most perfect spot. You could put a kid made a great play on it as well, but he had a step. It was a hell of a game. And yeah, I mean, you have to be happy for IU. That's a staggering turnaround in college football. And it does lead you to believe that, hey man, with the right personnel, the right coach, whatever. I don't like Kurt Cignetti, but I sure as hell respect him. I'd love him if he was my coach, right? He's one of those guys.
He's brash.
Brash, 100%. I mean, look, out of all the games the Irish won last year, beating them was really like special. The Battle of Indiana, certainly. So it was good. It was good. They're a really good team. They could absolutely win the whole thing, which would be insane.
So what do you, Paul asked the question before the break. What do you feel about Notre Dame's decision? And I don't want to use any words to describe it or color it before you say what your piece is.
Well, I mean,
not playing a bowl game at all.
I think the simpleton comment is, oh, look who took their ball and went home. I do. I think that's the comment of a simpleton. Because when that network has campaigned against you avidly for 4 weeks on the air, and then did the old rug pull on you at the last minute, to then go, yeah, man, I'd love to play in your first two out bowl game that you guys will get ratings and money for. I thought it was a real, honestly, Benny, and I think you know me well enough to know that that's kind of my personality. I'm not going to be a cuck for someone. I'm just not. I'm absolutely going to tell you, no, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing it. I've fought many, many battles in this building, as you know. As you know. If I didn't feel like it was right, I will go fight that battle. And you know that about me. So I didn't have one bit of problem with this. The only thing that bummed me out is, you know, we got young players that could absolutely benefit from the extra practice of next season, you know, getting them ready for next season. But to go play for ESPN in the Pop-Tart Bowl, my favorite part is everyone coming to the defense and the sanctity of the Pop-Tart Bowl now, when they couldn't have given a rat's ass any other time about the sanctity of these meaningless bowl games. And that's, in fact, what they are if you're a playoff-contending team. You know, and a team that you thought that you should have been in the playoffs. Now,
isn't the best way to handle it, though,
is to go beat BYU?
What does that play prove? The game.
What does that prove with none of your seniors playing because they want to go to the NFL? What does that prove?
Get you some money.
Get you some money. Practice.
Turning down the money makes it a principled stand, in my opinion, saying, I'm not going to take, I don't want your money. And you don't get the ratings from our team playing. I loved it. I thought it was a power move by one of the only schools that could pull it off.
You can like it or you cannot like it. It is very arrogant to turn down a big money bowl game on national television. And as you said, the ability to work with your team for another 3 weeks with practices and give the kids what is usually a pretty fun experience going to a bowl game. Most of them enjoy it.
Well, again,
they treat really well at all these games.
This wasn't gift packages
and everything.
Oh, you get a whole bunch of Pop-Tarts. BFD, they were supposed to play for a national championship. You're going to give these guys Pop-Tarts? Since when does everyone care about the Pop-Tart
Bowl? Everybody loves Pop-Tarts.
Give me a break.
If you're out of Pop-Tart, they're pretty good.
Pop-Tarts are good.
Yeah, I get it. But you know what's better? A national title. And being one of the top four teams to contend for it, especially by the odds. And then saying, hey, man, no, we're not going to go play in your bowl, ESPN. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So, I mean, that's, again, the players voted on it. This wasn't a AD decision saying, we're not doing this. They put it to the seniors. The seniors voted, and they said, no, we're not doing this. We're not going to go in on that network that legitimately campaigned against them and pulled the rug on them on the last day, which is exactly what they did. You can hate Notre Dame, whatever. You can't deny that. You even said it. It's exactly what they did. They strung them along for 5 weeks.
Yeah, that's true.
They strung them along. And then you want them to go, oh, yeah, we'd love to play in the Cuck Bowl. Where's our chair? We'll go sit in the chair and smoke cigarettes and watch you guys. Like, it makes no sense.
Why does any team play in any bowl game, then, that's not the playoff?
Because, again, I think some of these programs have to do it. They have to do it. They're like, we need the $6 million.
Yeah.
Notre Dame's like, we're not taking your money, but we're also not playing in your bowl.
Again, that's arrogant.
It's principle.
So much money that you can say no to that.
Now, you've alluded to it and outright said it a couple of times this morning. The collusion, maybe even, like you're alluding to, right? ESPN and the SEC, Alabama getting in. I don't disagree with you.
They have a huge contract with each other. 100%.
There were also reports from, I think it was Yahoo Sports. They were saying that starting next year, Notre Dame has it written into their contracts.
He reported that when it came out.
That they have to make the college football playoffs if they're top 12. Isn't that sketchy too?
No, I mean, they reported that. Remember, you reported that. I remember you telling me about that last year when they did the expansion.
I think it was like earlier this year, in the offseason.
When they did the expansion, hey, finish top 12 and you're in the playoffs, which again, I think that's a fair, if you're Notre Dame and you finish in the top 12, you should be in the playoffs.
I guess, isn't that like preferential treatment? Like, why wouldn't every school put that into their contracts or whatever?
I don't think every school's going to get the sign off on that. Paulie, it's the nature of the situation. Like, is it arrogant to say that Notre Dame is a big, successful program that can handle independence? Is that arrogant, or is that just the truth? The truth stings sometimes, that all things are not equal. They're not.
Would you say being in a conference or not being in a conference has helped more or hurt more over the years?
I mean, they made the national championship game last year. They're not in a conference. Last year. They did it last year. They don't need a conference to be successful.
I'm not arguing.
Look at Miami. They didn't even play
Notre
in their
Dame
conference.
Notre Dame is a very good team. They were playing well. I think they could have won the national championship. I do believe that trying to get through an SEC schedule is a much more daunting task than any other conference's schedule. Big Ten is a close, and after that, it's a huge drop-off, whether it's Notre Dame's schedule or an ACC schedule or even a Big 12 schedule. It's just not the same. A record is not the same value if you go 10-2 against an independent schedule or a Big 12 schedule or an ACC schedule as it is when you have to play an SEC or Big 10 schedule. The conferences have become so separated talent-wise with the two big ones and everybody else that you can't even compare them anymore. And that's ultimately, that's the big problem, is that SEC and Big Ten are playing different sorts of football and schedules. Now, Notre Dame, I think, is as good as many of those teams and could probably do well, but they can't put together a resume like those schools because they don't play. Unless you schedule,
they schedule
five SEC teams every year and then two or three Big Ten teams, you're never going to be able to compare schedule-wise to those conferences that have to play those schedules every year.
Yeah, Notre Dame, though, also, think about this. Like, I looked at their schedule for next year, and it's not a world beater by any stretch. You got Miami, you got USC, who's trying to back out of that deal. Miami's now talking about maybe dropping. They're made so far in advance. They also have to, because of the national fan base, they have to play neutral site games a lot. They play in a lot of NFL stadiums and places like that. They're willing to do it because they want to keep their independence. Again, I think when you're a program like that, of course, the people with the arrows and slings are out today. I knew they would be. It's okay. I'm used to it. I've been going through this since I was a kid. Nothing's changed. Oh, people are saying mean stuff about Notre Dame. What will I do? You know, what will I do? They have to join a conference. I've been hearing that mess for years. They've made the playoffs consistently. They were in the national title. They beat all those conferences that you just mentioned that were so great and unbeatable. They beat them all last year on their way to a national championship game without a conference. Like, that doesn't add up for anyone.
Ultimately, I think.
And what conference should they join?
Yeah, joining the ACC doesn't really help.
It does nothing.
It does nothing.
Miami's never won an ACC. They didn't play in the conference championship game. They've never won the ACC.
I'm sure
the Big Ten would love to have them.
Yes, they
Who
would.
Do they kick out?
Why, well, just have a 19th team. They're already 8 over 10
crazy.
Anyway. Might as well make it 9 over 10.
Ultimately, they're going to have to do something. They're going to have to probably expansion, because I felt very conflicted yesterday when we actually got to the selection, and you see the field, and you see Tulane and James Madison
in
there.
Yeah,
and I understand how it worked, and it even could have been fluky. But for years, and I'm somebody who went to a Mountain West school, like, it's not out of the realm of possibility San Diego State could have been shown on ESPN yesterday in their locker room celebrating because they were in the college football playoffs. That's cool for those schools. But when we actually get to the day and you see the whole field, I go, I just want the 12 best teams.
Yeah, it's tough, too, because
you have to
do it that way.
Well, I do think you have to have an avenue for a group of five team. Otherwise, the group of five is gone. You just are erasing
it's already
it from
on
existence.
Life support. That would be.
And if you take them out of it, you're erasing them from existence. I have the solution. You're not going to like it, most college football fans, but the solution is, you have made these conferences, especially the Big Ten and the SEC, so big that you don't even play half of your conference teams
Correct.
Every year, which makes when at the end you get these wild tiebreaker scenarios to determine
like
who's going
ACC.
To a conference championship game that ends up Duke in a championship game, which makes no sense at all.
With five losses.
If you're going to play a schedule, you're only playing half of your conference games. You should put the top two teams in your conference championship based on their ranking, their overall resume. So conference records shouldn't matter at all anymore. If you went 5-3 in your conference, but you're the top-ranked team in your conference, you go in over the team that's 8-0 in the conference. The conference games don't mean anything when your conferences are too big. You may not have played the same teams as the team that went 8-0
right.
versus the one that went 5-3. 5-3 might be a better record because you played a tougher conference schedule than the one that went 8-0.
Yeah, but again, a 5-3 record is not getting you anywhere. You know what I'm saying?
But if you're the best, let's say, but in the non-conference, you won some impressive games against ranked teams,
okay,
and you're the best ranked team. You go to the conference championship.
Here's the thing, and I saw this tweeted, and I laugh because it's true. Notre Dame could literally schedule Georgia, Southern Cal. They could do the Navy game, which is tradition, and then they could schedule Ohio State, Penn State, Indiana. It still wouldn't be enough. It wouldn't be enough. And let's say they lost three of those games. Well, they're not in a conference. They're out. not playing a conference championship game yesterday.
But making the conference championship game, if you're going to keep the conference championships, if you make those teams the best teams and not just the ones that won their two loss tiebreakers in conference, you're going to get actually more opportunity for Notre Dame because you won't have situations where James Madison is the fifth ranked conference champion because the top four champions will all be good teams. Miami would have been in there against Virginia instead of Duke getting into that game. You just can't. These conferences are too big to play conference schedules that make it meaningful anymore.
Of course. And again, like you said, there's tiers of the conference. Some one team plays a tougher conference schedule than the next, and then you have to figure out.
You could be in the Big Ten now with 18 teams. You could play a 9-game schedule, and another team can play a completely different 9-game Big Ten schedule against 9 totally different opponents.
With an FCS team thrown in there.
That would be like you're playing in the NL West. You're the Padres and Dodgers, but you didn't play any of the same teams all year long.
Right.
And then you decide, oh, who's the champion of our division? Wait, we didn't have a single common opponent the entire year? How is that? You can't compare two teams that don't play the same schedules. And if you have conferences that are 18 teams large, there's no way to compare those teams. They're basically in different conferences if you're playing different schedules. You've wrecked college football's conference championships by making your conferences too big.
So, again, you know, my beef is with Alabama, right? The losses that they had, they got credit for the best win of the year against Georgia, which was, I think, in game week one. They got double credit for that. They had a blowout loss to Georgia. They had a 7-point win over a 5-7 Auburn team. They had an FCS opponent, and they lost to OU at home. This is the last 4 weeks. And they're like, yeah, they look good to us. We'll throw them in. It just so happens the SEC and ESPN are massively in bed together. How does that work? How does that work? So, look, it's over. They didn't make it. I'll be hate watching like a mother. Like, I can't wait to hate watch this entire playoffs. But
and if the playoffs were on NBC, then Notre Dame would probably never be missing the playoffs.
That's
if
right.
If that's what happens. Is that how you want college football run? I don't think anybody does.
I want when you win 10 games in a row by an average of like 38.5 points down the stretch. I think that team deserves to be in. I do. I do think they deserve to be in, and so do you. You know you do.
All right, we're going to get back to baseball
coming
up. Don't
you? Admit it. They deserve to be in.
I think they deserve to be in.
Thank you.
I think they deserve to be in. I think Miami also deserved to be in. I would have knocked Alabama out.
So would I.
But, of course, they were the ones that got knocked out last year at the on the wire as well.
How about Florida State should have done this in 23? They should have absolutely said, no, we're not playing that bowl game. They got hosed. They got robbed. Remember that? They got robbed. And
that
they lost their quarterback.
Hasn't helped them much going forward.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Yeah, that big bowl game they played really put them on the map and brought them back to relevance and prominence.
All right, we're going to get back to baseball. Sam Levitt's going to join us at the bottom of the hour from Orlando at baseball's winter meetings. But in Don't Do This, the toughest job potentially in America, Bob Nightingale's editor. It's got to be a tough one.
His boss. What do you do?
I actually cringed this weekend when I saw it.
Paulie, you worked with a guy that had his Twitter taken away. Is it time?
I haven't seen Boob Nightingale's recent, but
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was pretty unbelievable.
We have some audio that we absolutely have to play. I think it's a doo-doo this, right? About the national mention of our boss.
Yeah, why not? I like it.
You guys will like this.
It was pretty positive. I like that. All right, we'll get to that coming up next with Bennett Woods after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. First, though, holidays are coming up, but then what happens? The new year is coming up. You know you're going to want to make some resolutions. What about getting some help this year with your New Year's resolutions by going to sdfatloss.com and finding out how you can do the program that helps you lose up to a pound of fat per day and 10 to 20% of your body weight in just 60 days. And if you sign up now, you can take advantages of the best prices of the year, up to $400 or more off at sdfatloss.com. It's the program based on real foods, the one that I did and lost 40 pounds in 60 days, and I've kept all the weight off. You can do it as well with no counting points or calories, no prepackaged meals, no exercise, and no injections with the risk of those serious side effects. Sign up today, get a free consultation. They will explain how the program works, when you eat, how much you eat, and how it can change your metabolism to become a fat-burning machine. You can be up to 17 years younger in your metabolic age. I don't don't know exactly what that means, but I certainly feel way younger than I did before I started the program in so many different ways. Join all the tier ones who've lost so much weight. You can be next. Take advantage of now, though. Sign up before December 31st and then start the program whenever you're ready by going to sdfatloss.com. That's sdfatloss.com. Results may vary.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This, brought to you by Trust and Will. By the way, Trust and Will, the new title sponsor of the Holiday Bowl. Congratulations. Might talk about that game and matchup a little bit later. First, though, don't leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust or Will online at trustandwill.com.
This
is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. And whether you agree or disagree with Notre Dame's decision not to play in a bowl game, certainly caused chaos yesterday. And delaying the announcement of several bowl matchups by hours and hours, including the Trust and Will Holiday Bowl, which eventually got the matchup I think they wanted to begin with, which was Arizona SMU coming to Snapdragon Stadium on January 2nd. But there were many bowls that couldn't even find an opponent, including the Birmingham Bowl, which ended up with Georgia Southern against blank. And for hours and hours, they kept asking teams, will you play, like, again, our bowl game against Georgia Southern, and they just kept getting, no, no. I think at least seven teams turned them down.
Wow.
Because there were no more six-win teams left, so they had to go to the five-win teams that had already wrapped up their season and go, we'll see you next year. And now all of a sudden they're getting invited to a bowl game. Finally, after hours and hours, Appalachian State agreed to be the opponent for Georgia Southern in the Birmingham Bowl. And they finally filled the roster out of all the bowl games, but Notre Dame's decision did not have, it had some immediate repercussions, let's say.
Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes you got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything, Benjamin.
But first, Bob Nightingale over the weekend. Now, we all send out tweets with errors. You did the other week.
Yeah, I said giddy instead of gritty.
But Bob does it a lot more than most.
So read the original
Over the weekend, Bob Nightingale trying to break some of the first news from the winter meetings. The Chicago Cubs are close to finalizing an agreement with free agent starter Zach Gallen on a multi-year deal that will pay him an average of $22 million a year. Gallen, with three top 10 Cy Young finishes, has averaged 32 starts a year for the past four seasons.
That's now, big news.
That's huge news.
I think we all know, you know, what that means. That usually when you say close to finalizing, they're on the finish line, and unless something weird happens, it's going to happen. Now, things have fallen apart at the last moment, but he made it seem as though, okay, this is at the 1 yard line. They just need to cross the T's and dot the I's, and they're going to have the deal done.
If you're a Cub fan, you're like, oh, hell yeah. We got Zach Gallen in our rotation. It's a lot of money for Zach Gallen, but that's okay. We're going to be all right. We got another arm.
Weird things happen, but if you're a Cubs fan and you see that, you assume you're getting Zach Gallen.
Well, Jeff Passan immediately tweeted out, the Cubs are not close to the deal.
First, he had to update it.
No, well, first Jeff Passan tweeted.
Yeah, Passan tweeted. Then he updated.
And then he changed his tweet, used the edit feature, and said, update! The Chicago Cubs are hopeful of finalizing an agreement with free agent starter Zach Gallen on a multi-year deal, but the deal is not done, with others still in contention.
Didn't mention any dollar amounts
No, he didn't give the stats. Gallen, with three top 10 Cy Young finishes, has averaged 32 starts a year for the past four
seasons. I'll tell you what.
Hopeful.
If we tweeted every team that was hopeful of signing someone this offseason, your feeds would just be filled with hopeful tweets.
I don't know the purpose of this. He does have a blue check mark, so engagement is key if you want to make some money. I don't think he's that...
I don't think he's doesn't. I don't think he operates that way.
I think it's simply because he has a, you know, last week he reported that the A's were hiring Ron Washington, yep. And then he had to change
it. It was the Giants.
I think, and I've had this happen before. You just rush to get something out, and I've got to imagine when you know that Jeff Passan and Jesse Rogers and Ken Rosenthal are all on their phones ready to tweet the same thing at the same minute. That if you wait even like 15 seconds to make sure you proofread everything, you just got scooped. And I think sometimes he goes so fast to try to get that out before everybody else that he doesn't bother to proofread
it. Did a bunch of other reporters also put out something about Zach Gallen?
Not this one.
No.
But I think he was probably fearful. Like, oh, I just got this. I think this is a scoop. I got to get it out as fast as possible. And then,
yeah, what's the reward, though? The if you're wrong, this is clearly what happens. You're getting made fun of on morning talk shows right. The next day. If you're right,
then you're the guy that everyone goes to for breaking news, I guess?
I think, you know, we could, as Padres fans and you know, here on 97.3 The Fan, I could literally tweet today, the San Diego Padres are hopeful of finalizing an agreement with left-handed power hitting Kyle Schwarber, because I'm sure they are hopeful.
I'm sure they're
getting
hopeful of acquiring Shohei Ohtani in a trade with the Dodgers.
They are hopeful,
for, you know,
Luis Camposano, yeah, and David Morgan and Estrada.
They do need some bullpen help.
They
in
do.
LA. That's possible.
So it's one of those deals. You're like, you can't be tweeting that they're hopeful of finalizing agreements. Now, if he goes to the Cubs, everyone will say, "Oh, Bob was right," but you know, it just doesn't. It's not a good look.
They're talking to him. If you know they're talking to him, you can say they're talking to him.
Yeah, I think they have shown interest in Zach Gallen. That's an okay tweet. The Chicago Cubs have shown interest in Zach Gallen. Nothing wrong with that. But Bob does this all the time.
Yeah.
Does this all the time. We got to go quick. This is a doo-doo, this, in my opinion.
D-D mega doo-doo.
Ben, what's getting a little national radio show attention?
Got a DM last night from Charge Strohs, DFeezy922. He said, "What up, Woodsy? Was listening to some sports radio on the way home, like Ben, and came across this Friday night, Saturday morning. I thought it was cool. Ben and Woods getting a shout out on national radio from another tier one." I don't know if I'd call this a Ben and Woods shout out, but he said, "Hope all is well."
And it was like late Friday or late, even early yeah. Saturday morning.
Yeah. Early Saturday morning. It looks like he screenshot. Now, he could have gone back and got it at 5:25.
Sure.
But this was on a guy by the name of David Shepard on his show, based out of New York.
888-710-4476. Let's get right back to the phone lines. Derek in San Diego. Appreciate the patience, man. Hope you're having a good morning. What do you have for us, sir?
Mr. Shepard, the kindest man in sports talk radio, and I want to give a shout out to Gilberto in San Diego. We call in to the local sports talk radio shows.
Very nice.
On a regular basis. Good to hear him, man.
Yeah, is that Adam Klug? He's the program director there now, right? And he has been for quite some time.
He is. Yeah. Adam Klug, man. He gets made fun of a lot on the morning show. But Adam Klug is a good dude, man.
Well, you know, Derek, you know it's a good morning show if you can make fun of your program director and get away with it. You know you're doing well in the ratings, 100%. If that's the case.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Ben and Woods, they just slay Adam Klug. But you know what? Adam's a good dude, man.
Yeah.
I've met him personally. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to give a shout out to Gilberto. But you know what?
Fantastic.
Shout out to Gilberto.
Shout out Gilberto, number one. Shout out to that guy that called in with great pipes, by the way. Phenomenal pipes, the caller. And shout out to Shepard for being like, "Hey, no. Like, if you can make fun of your boss, that means you're a good show." Thank you. We do slay Adam quite a bit. We absolutely adore Adam and don't want to work for anybody else. You know?
It's a place of
Adam Klug, man. He gets made fun of a lot.
Dude.
They're hearing this in South Dakota and Washington and Florida.
I was blown away. I was blown away when I heard this. So, Adam.
Yeah, Adam Klug, man. He gets made fun of a lot.
That kind of sounds like the so pitted guy.
Yeah, so pitted. We need to put that in the tournament of drops. I think Ben and Wood slays him is better even than that. But
Adam Klug is a good dude, man.
Well, you know, Derek, you know it's a good morning show if you can make fun of your program director and get away with it. You know you're doing well in the ratings, if that's the case.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Ben and Woods, they just slay Adam Klug.
I love it. I love it. Made me so happy.
And that is Don't and Do This for a Monday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
When we come back, we will take you out to Orlando for the first time, but certainly not the last time this week. A live update from the MLB Winter Meetings from Sammy Leavitt coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.
But first, gang, it is time for your old pal Woodsy to talk about some EcoWater. EcoWater SoCal got the unit in the home coming up on our EcoWater anniversary. It was right after the year ended. We had them come out and install the EcoWater system. It's been phenomenal. Been the best, smartest, most practical upgrade I've ever made for my family and our home. I don't do a lot right, but I did this right. They are the first with remote monitoring, the first with Wi-Fi and leak detection, and the first with whole home automatic cutoffs that can stop a leak before it becomes a disaster. They have been doing this since 1925 when they patented the first self-regenerating water softener. Now, nearly a century later, they are still leading the way. And the hard water that you're currently using or drinking, showering in, giving to your family, giving to your pets, washing your food in, all of that, it's not great. It's not great at all. There's a lot of stuff in there that you don't want. So make sure you get the EcoWater system. Their reverse osmosis system gives you bottle quality water straight from the tap. You add the alkaline filters, your hydration gets a very healthy boost. Try the Soft Life and alkaline water now, just $9.95 a month by calling 760-350-3338 or visit EcoWaterSoCal.com. Let them know Woodsy sent you. Not everything in life should be hard, especially your water. Keeping it soft since 1925.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Got Sam Leavitt standing by from Orlando. First, this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by U.S. Wellness Meats. Skip the fillers and preservatives in food and choose 100% grass-fed and pasture-raised meats from the trusted family farms at U.S. Wellness Meats. Free shipping on orders over 15 pounds. Get 20% off your first order at uswellnessmeats.com. Let's see. I've heard it's rainy in Florida, which is not totally unusual.
They're not doing these meetings outside, though. So
that's
true.
He'll be fine. And we had a surprising Hall of Fame announcement yesterday. We'll start there with Sam Leavitt right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. It's really a cycle of the year when it comes to Sam Leavitt. There's spring training Sammy, then regular season Sammy, postseason Sammy, off-season Sammy. But for every couple days every year, we've got winter meetings Sammy Leavitt joining us now. And I can see him live from Orlando, Florida. Sammy, how's the trip? How's everything starting for you?
Everything has been remarkably smooth. Got into Orlando about 10 p.m. last night. Like you alluded to, it was pouring. Pouring all night, pouring this morning. So nobody's outside, nobody in the pools here in Orlando, many of them that I can see. But like you said, everything thankfully inside. And so far, a fairly quiet morning as people start to show up. I see Susie Hunter right there. Hi, Susie. I'm on the radio right now. I'll talk to you later. But yes, tons of people walking around and showing up. And we are just getting rolling on this Monday in Orlando.
And how's the hotel? You're staying at the hotel where everyone's staying?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Nice.
Yes. So makes it very easy. I shower, waltz downstairs, grab a cup of coffee, and we are right to work.
No
yes.
Continental breakfast at the hotel?
No. You know, I will say one of the things about the winter meetings, and this has been true at any of the locations, you know, it is a little difficult to figure out what exactly to do as far as breakfast and lunch. You know, there's a lot of people here. I don't know that there are a ton of options on site. I don't know that there are a ton of options in the Adam Klug budget range on site.
Hey, can you just not eat?
Many of these... many of these places you're not particularly close to a lot of places. So, that can be a little bit difficult, admittedly, figuring out the food situation, but we're all sort of, in the same boat. So this morning I got a fruit cup and a cup of coffee. It cost me $14.
Wow. Kevin Acey said he'll share his sandwich with you.
This is unbelievable. I love it.
So give us we've only been to the ones in San Diego down at the Hyatt downtown. What's the kind of the lay of the land? You're in a hallway. with, and yeah. I keep looking, if you're not watching our YouTube stream, you can see people just streaming. I'm waiting to see famous people like agents or someone stream behind you at any moment.
Yeah, you know, each one is a little bit different, right? Since I've been in San Diego, let's see, we did Nashville.
Oh, Alex Cora just walked by. I just saw Alex Cora.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Oh, man. We did Nashville, Dallas. They're all somewhat similar, right? They're in these big convention center hotels with these really big ballrooms. They're all a little bit different. You know, this one, I think, is kind of between two hotels, and we're walking back and forth. You have the MLB Network set. You have, you know, all the different other radio and media sets. I will note, one thing we don't do, and this is fine, this is not a knock on Adam, is we don't like reserve a radio table like we did in San Diego that one year, right, when we had all the shows there. So it will be a process like it is right now of figuring out where to do these interviews. That's why I'm in a hallway right now. But it gives you a little feel behind me, right? You see all the people walking by. So every setup's a little bit different, but, you know, it's ballrooms, hallways. You know, we'll go up to, I presume, you know, some of the hotel suites when we go to talk to AJ Preller a little bit later today. That's always interesting because you're walking into a hotel suite and now you're talking baseball. But
so you got in,
it's always pretty similar.
You got in late last night when you walked in to check in the hotel. Was the hotel bar bumping? Because I heard a lot of deals get going down there.
Yes, it was. I did not peruse last night. I got in late. I was tired. I had a wedding this weekend.
I don't blame you.
On Saturday. So I've talked to people this morning. I kind of did my own thing and went to sleep. And, you know, I had to charge my microphones and get everything set to go. So, but yes, you know, from years past that, you know, yes, the hotel bar is a place to be, a place where deals get made, a place where a lot of good conversations happen. So, yes, it's no secret. What's that?
Sammy, what are we're watching MLB Network right now.
You are
right.
John Morosi?
Yeah, you're right behind John Morosi's shoulder, so we can see you doing the interview on MLB
so
Network.
Funny.
This is like Inception. This
Sammy,
is
wave,
nuts.
Wave. Sammy, wave. Wave.
Sammy, don't give
wave.
The middle finger.
Don't wave.
Hold up a Ben and Woods sticker.
Yeah. No, I'm nervous. I'm very, very nervous.
Oh, my God. This is incredible.
MLB Network's lights are too bright for me.
You're right over his shoulder.
Right over his shoulder. It's like,
I thought it was Adam at first.
Morosi looks a lot like Adam. That is incredible. All right, well, they already had Dennis Lynn wrote a piece this morning. I'm sure you've had a chance to read it, Sammy. Maybe you haven't. I don't know. Talking about Nick Pivetta. I mean, look, these are the kind of things that GMs have to consider. As foolish as it sounds to us, you know, hey, your opening day starter is on the block because you don't want to pay him potentially $19 million. Kind of a, again, the analogy I used was it feels like a little bit of the air leaves the balloon on a Monday morning.
Yeah, you know, look, in a couple of the conversations I had this morning, and I read that same piece by Dennis within the last hour or so, I think the overarching feeling and theme I get, and whether this is something that happens at the winter meetings or later is obviously going to be a key question here over the next few days, but I do think there, at least from people who are around the game, there's a feeling of the Padres are going to have to do something, right? I think we all understand the starting pitching is a major need. They need a lot. They need not just quality, but they need quantity, quite frankly, at this point. So am I shocked to read that from Dennis about Pivetta this morning? No, I think the overarching feeling here is, and I'm not saying feeling from the Padres, but feeling from people who are around it, is that they're going to have to do something to free up money, to make themselves a little bit more flexible. So is that something as major as trading a Pivetta? Maybe. I think that also opens up an enormous hole in your rotation, something you're trying to fix. So I'm not a huge fan of it when you just mention it. Could you make a case for it? Sure. Jake Cronenworth, I think, is a name that, you know, in all likelihood, we're going to hear quite a bit about, you know, is somebody, again, that creates another hole. Jake's obviously very valuable. He's obviously a favorite to us and a lot of the fans, but would be somebody that can free up payroll, and then you could allocate that in a different direction. So, you know, it's so funny. Year after year, I feel like, you know, I've come to these meetings and we've had sort of the same conversation the last few years in particular, and that is, how is AJ going to get creative to put the best team on the field he possibly can. And this feels like certainly another one of those situations where he's going to have to be really, really, really creative. And I obviously think this time around, it's about starting pitching and how are you going to create a situation where you can get both quality and quantity in that starting rotation. And how they go about that, obviously, is the key question.
It was announced that the Contemporary Era Committee, after considering some of the greats that have been passed over for Hall of Fame selection, are only inducting one member, and that is Jeff Kent, over guys like, you know, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and Gary Sheffield and Carlos Delgado. And I would say Woods and I were very surprised, because if you listed all the names that were available and you told me that everyone's going to get in except one, I would have said Jeff Kent's the only one that doesn't get in out of that list. So the fact that he got in, I don't know why it bothers me. I never liked Jeff Kent.
Yeah, you
to
didn't
begin
like
with.
Him.
I never liked him. But
that's why it bothers you.
I think for my biggest argument is, if Barry Bonds doesn't exist and he's not a teammate of Jeff Kent, there's no way that Jeff Kent's a Hall of Famer. He got all kinds of pitches to hit because of Barry Bonds. He was in the perfect situation. Now, he capitalized on it, yes, but it bothers me that there's a world that Barry Bonds isn't in the Hall and Jeff Kent is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, more so than even the Kent part of it, I don't know how you guys feel about it. I don't know that we've ever had this conversation. I'm just so firmly in the camp that how can you have a Hall of Fame without a guy like Barry Bonds, without a guy like even Gary Sheffield, right, who also would have been under consideration from this Contemporary Era Committee. I feel like the omissions speak as loudly as the guys who are elected right now, whether it be via the writers, whether it be via the various committees. Look, again, and Barry Bonds is obviously the prime example. I just don't know how, you know, you can go to Cooperstown and take your kids and try to explain the game of baseball without some of these guys in there, whether it's Bonds or Clemens or A-Rod. List goes on and on and on. It'll continue to grow. So I'm pretty much with you. At a base level, I have no real issue with Kent getting in, but to me, it's just the omissions that continue to, unfortunately, I suppose, kind of highlight what's gone on in Cooperstown.
What do you think, Woods? I mean, his numbers, you know, they're Hall of Fame WAR. There's some guys who are in around where he is.
Bro, his B-WAR, and again, you can, whatever measurement, but they said he's in with like a 54 B-WAR. Lou Whitaker's not even on the ballot with a 71.
Right.
You know, that's the tough part. And the best tweet of the day was, "Hey, honey, the guy they were okay pitching to when they walked Barry Bonds is in the Hall of Fame, but Barry Bonds is not." I was like, that actually makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah, I mean, you still got to capitalize and do the job, and maybe he's deserving, maybe he is, but I think those other guys are too. AJ Pierzynski had a really hot take over the weekend about how, if you're in the Clemens and Bonds camp, and it wasn't even illegal in baseball to do this stuff, there was a time when they came and they cracked down hard on steroids. Anybody after that, you're out. Anybody before that, you're in. And I went, okay, that's a real cut and dry way to look at it. By that metric, then Barry Bonds would be in the Hall of Fame. And I'm okay with that. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm in favor of Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens.
The best
going
hitter
in.
That's ever lived.
I'm not saying ignore, you know, make sure, you know, everyone knows the history and the story of it. But anyway, that's my personal rant for this morning. Sammy, what else you've got going? Obviously, you're going to be on all the shows all week.
Yeah. We'll have plenty from Orlando, obviously, on the shows all week. We'll have content on the 97.3 The Fan social media channels, whether that is X or Instagram, and obviously on my channels as well at Sammy Lev. Today, Craig Stammen is scheduled to speak with the media formally a little bit later this afternoon. I'll do something with Craig after that as well, and then you guys know we have AJ Preller speak every day here at the winter meeting, so that'll be later in the afternoon, and we will have audio and video for you throughout the week from Orlando, so stay tuned.
Hell yeah,
awesome.
Sammy.
Thank you, Sammy. Have a good day. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Don't starve to death.
All right, guys, I'll try.
Sam Levitt on our David P. Shapiro fan hotline. David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys, helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. We'll come back 2 hours down. 2 hours to go with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Are you looking for a money reset? With the new year upon us, the Jill on Money podcast is here to help you take control of your financial life. follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.